Why don't you open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, and we'll pray. Father, you know about this bill, I pray that it will come to nothing. You know, it seems like the bad guys very often are winning. Father, I pray that you'll discomfit the enemy, your enemy. They mock, they laugh, they ridicule you, they think you're not powerful. Show them, Lord. We don't want to live in a state where murder is the, up to 9 months is the, Lord, roll these statutes back. We want to go on the offense, Lord, and win the day. And I pray that you'd take this victory and just keep on going with it. Lord, motivate your people to pray like never before. Now, we pray, Father, that you would speak to us through your word. It's a good word you've got for us. Well, I pray I won't mess it up, I won't Charlie Brown it, but that at the end of today, Lord, you will be glorified through the preaching, the teaching of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we ended in verse 17. I didn't explain it as well as I could have or should have, and I knew that that's where we're going to pick up today, and we're going to define it. It was one of the questions on the homework. I don't know how well you did, I'm going to define it more. I'm going to help us to understand what verse 17 means, hopefully. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Okay, we talked about that. Not with words of wisdom. What do you want to preach it like a moron, like a dope, like a empty-headed fool? It's not with words of wisdom, lest, and we're going to develop this, he's going to spend the rest of the chapter talking about this verse, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. Now, the homework question is, how can words of wisdom make the cross void of its power? None effect, that's what that means. How can, if I'm articulate, the cross is empty of power? Wait a second, that doesn't even make sense. Hold on, he's going to, like I say, the rest of the chapter is devoted to explaining verse 17. Okay, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are being saved, it is the power of God. You ever wonder if you're perishing or if you're saved? Well, here's a self-test, and it really is. Is the preaching of the cross foolishness? It is to many, it is to most. Have you talked to people? So you go to church on Sunday and you hear about some bloody sacrifice offered thousands of years ago, and that's going to make all the difference, right? They mock the message. God help us if we ever try to become more relevant. Many churches do that. There are churches who've taken all the references to the cross and to the blood out of the hymnals. What are we all about? We're about worshiping Jesus Christ who died for our sins. The cross is central to everything we do. Once we remove the cross, what do we got? We got nothing. If Jesus Christ hasn't died for our sins and was buried and resurrected from the dead on the third day, what are we doing? We've got nothing. And Paul tells us, we're the most miserable of all men if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead. God help us if we ever abandon that. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I think we all know that, but I think we also know that, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. That simple message changed my and your eternity. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Yes, he has. It's not a rhetorical question, but I think they were foolish on their own. I really do. I mean, have you seen the world's wisdom? Have you? Your late great, your ancestors were monkeys. Really? That doesn't surprise us. We've been around for a while. We've heard their foolishness. Look, they don't even know how to handle a virus. You know, you put a piece of plexiglass and you hang that up, that's going to stymie any virus going. I can't say the name of the virus. I'll get censored or something. Pretty wise. Listen. I'll give you another example of the wisdom. There's more than two genders. There's dozens of them. And you can switch between, navigate through all of them. You can be all, I don't know, the last number I heard was like 76. You'd be all 76 of them in the course of a day. And we don't know which ones should marry which ones. And you don't have a decision in the matter. If you're like a man of the cloth like myself, I don't know where that came from. I don't like that. If you're a Mariam guy, you got no choice in the matter. Man's wisdom. Listen, a baby in utero is not a human being. It's a lump of tissue. Man's wisdom. What else growing, by the way, isn't alive? Just wondering. If you leave a baby alone, it comes out of a person. It's a total human being. It's all there. But if we decide that we don't want it, it's just a lump of cells. Man's wisdom. Now, let's take man's wisdom into the spiritual realm. There is an afterlife. There has to be, right? There's a heaven, and basically everyone gets there. And you get there by doing the best you can and by being a good person. Man's wisdom. You never would have come up with the cross. I certainly wouldn't have. I'm going to destroy the wisdom of the wise. I'll bring nothing to the understanding of the prudent. Oh, Romans chapter 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, whoever believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is, as written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Hold there means suppress. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, they're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Isn't this what we're talking about in 1 Corinthians? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So mankind has their wisdom, okay? But professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. What's it talking about? It's talking about idolatry. I built this little statue and I bow down and say to it, you're my God, save me. If the thing could talk, but it can't, it would say, how can I save you? You made me. Right? And it's foolish. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, dishonoring their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And then it talks about God giving them over to vile affections. We don't have to go there today. Man's wisdom. You do man's wisdom, you're going to be confused in every venue, in every avenue, in every forum, every area of your life. They haven't got anything right. They haven't got anything right. They don't know marriage. They don't know relationships. They don't know righteousness. They don't know spirituality. They don't understand history. I mean, whatever you look to them for leadership, they mock you for being the rube, and then they believed your grandmother was the chimpanzee. Where's the scribe? Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? You see, the whole thing in Corinth was they had like their favorite philosophers, and their philosophers would duke it out in debate, and they all lined up behind, oh, this guy, he's got, and their philosophers stood around all day, and, you know, philosophy, right? It's wonderful, right? It's like someone said philosophy is like looking for a black cat in a dark room that's not there. That's philosophy in my thinking. And they had their philosophers who debated what life was all about. And that's Paul at Mars Hill. He kind of took that up and tried to, you know, further debate and kind of add his two cents into it. At Mars Hill, Paul didn't get, he didn't make many converts. And I think he changed his style. Now, people look at Mars Hill and think, boy, that was the best sermon ever preached. It was articulate. It was brilliant. And it was ineffectual. Have you thought this through? Not many got saved. So much so, Paul changes his tack, and we'll see it here. Of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Again, I would give to you Romans chapter 1. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, this is how God does it, the foolishness of preaching. But I want you to understand something. You have a different Bible version. It means this, the foolishness of the thing preached. What's that? What's the gospel? Now, wait a second. That's foolish? Well, bear with me. We're going to talk about the foolishness of God, right? The ultimate oxymoron, right? God, let's think, God, his God, right? All he knows. I can't even represent it. My arms won't open that wide. But on this side here, on your left, it's God's just what he knows, right? But here it's like his maximum wisdom. Here, can I just say it this way? This is his foolishness, which, by the way, is so much farther than any of us understand. Because you wouldn't come up with the gospel. His God's, my ditto fingers are out, right? Because someone will listen to me later. This is God's foolishness. I'm going to save the world by the death of my son on the cross. That's how I'm going to pay for the sins of the world. Jesus is going to pay for the sins of the world on the cross. And you're embracing that, accepting him as Savior, makes you eligible. And it's the only thing that makes you eligible for heaven. You never would have came up with that. I certainly wouldn't have. That's God's foolishness. Oh, you want to hear his wisdom? Oh, read Job. Hey, Job, where were you when I hung the planets on, and the stars on nothing? How come it is that the tides go here and no further? They don't go here. How come they come right here? How do you do that? You know, we're trying to find, we know a lot of stuff. In 2023, I just date stamped this. We know a lot of stuff, and we don't know anything. We understand a lot of things, and you know, compared to this, we don't know anything. I think it's like 96 questions he asked Job, and Job swing and a miss 96 times. Job doesn't get any wood on the ball. He's not even a foul tip, nothing. He doesn't answer any of the questions. Why? Because Job, wise man in his day, doesn't understand any of these things, nor can he. This is God's wisdom. It's so far above us. Listen, his foolishness is so far above us. If his foolishness, the preaching of the cross, we never would have come up with, you're not going to invent DNA. You understand that, right? DNA. Incredible. When somebody's like has one of these shows on, it's talking about cell function and formation, and it's talking about, we came up with a name for it, deoxyribonucleic acid. We think we're bright because we named it. We didn't invent it. We just discovered it. God invented it. We couldn't. We've known this since, I think, the 50s now. Crick and Watson or something. Didn't they discover DNA or whatever? And then, guess what? We can't make DNA. We've had 70 years to figure it out. We can't. God is smart. God is intelligent. God is wise. God is brilliant. We're not. And then we sit and we argue with God about how things should go and how things should be and why this. And the problem as I see it is wisdom, the worldly wisdom, has made its way into the church. It's fine that the church is in the world. It's fine. That's the way God wanted it. It's not fine that the world is in the church. The church and the world, great. The world and the church, not so good. The boat on the water, in the water, is fine. The water in the boat, no. That's a catastrophe. That's the Titanic. We don't want that, okay? And we adopt worldly wisdom so often. How many churches think there's more than two genders and that homosexuality is not a sin, and whatever you want to be, that's fine? 20 years ago, no church was saying that. Zero churches were saying there's more than two genders. Zero. And now most of the churches think that. I watched a YouTube video. I watched with my own eyes. His Holiness Pope Francis, the whatever number he is, was saying that about homosexuality. Did you see the video? It's easy to find. It's on YouTube. And he was saying, like, you know, we've got to separate the difference between what is sin and what is... I can't remember exactly how he said it. I don't want to misquote. Basically, he was just saying, like, we got to change that. You can watch it. Like I say, you find out exactly what he said, because I was sitting there reeling. Really, I couldn't even get my mind around it. It was so incredible. Worldly wisdom. Hey, you know what? Really, if it ever was wrong to begin with, God's got to change. He's got to come up to, I mean, come on, right? That's how people think. No. We love God because he never changes. The things that were wrong yesterday are wrong today, and they'll be wrong tomorrow. The things that are right yesterday and today are still right, and they'll be right tomorrow. I haven't told you to hate anybody. I haven't told you to be bad people or anything. I'm telling you, God knows right, and God knows wrong. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Some people think what we believe is foolishness. And part of me says, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Listen, I understand what you're saying. What do you mean? I mean this. Someone say, so let me get this straight. Let me get this straight, Adam. There was this guy 2,000 years ago. You say he was God, creator God, came to earth. Yes, that's right. And he did miracles, he raised the dead, he gave blind people their sight back, he cleansed lepers. Yes, all correct. And then he died for our sins. I said, you got it exactly. And my belief in this 2,000-year-old person who lived, this carpenter turned preacher, turned healer, turned savior, If I believe that he's the Savior of the world, I will have eternal life. And if I don't, I'm damned to hell for all eternity. I'll say, you got it exactly. That's correct. Isn't that kind of a hard sell? Do you ever feel a little bit like, that's true, that's true. There's no denying it, that's true. Don't you ever feel like, who came up with this? This is kind of the most, can I say this, well, and I don't get struck by lightning or anything like this. This is the most ridiculous story I've ever heard in my life. And the only thing that it has going for it is it is absolutely, positively, 100% true. It's ludicrous. It is, God, you ever read in Scripture, and God makes things kind of, again, I say this very, very reverently, you know I love God, you know I love Jesus Christ. You ever see how God makes things? Silly. Ludicrous. I feel like I'm on thin ice here. Okay, look. The people are out in the wilderness and they're disobeying God and they get snake bit by fiery serpents. Okay. What's God's fix? Okay, Moses, I want you to take a snake, build a snake, a bronze snake, put it on a pole, hold it up, and everyone that looks to the snake will live and everyone that doesn't dies. You wouldn't have done it that way. I know I wouldn't have done it that way. Look, the world's corrupt. There's a gene pool problem, one. And then even though people who aren't affected by the gene pool problem are evil continually all the time. I'm done with the whole thing. I'm going to start it all again. Noah, I want you to build a barge. A large floating box, basically. A boat, to be sure. An ark, right? And I want you to... I'm going to collect all the animals, bring them to you. You're going to take all the animals in the ark with you, and we're going to flush the whole thing. And would you have come up with that idea? I'm afraid I think that's kind of like, do you tell people about the flood story, and they think you're like, okay, you're ready for the asylum. We gotta put this one in the Waldorf hysteria before they hurt themselves. Where's the sweater with the long sleeves? This person's out to lunch. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? No, you don't, because you're all thinking, "Oh, God's great, and God's wise, and God's wonderful." I think so too. I think he goes out of his way to do things in a way that you and I never would. You want to save mankind? Send your son to earth. Have him die on a cross. I wouldn't come up with that. And then your response to that death is what saves you, what damns you forever. God going out of his way to make things different. Can I say different? That's what I think it means by the foolishness of preaching, the foolishness of the thing preached. By the way, there's none of these things I just mentioned I don't believe in. I absolutely, positively believe this book from cover to cover. There's nothing in here that I qualify with, well, yeah, but... I believe in floating axe heads and talking donkeys, and I believe in the flood tale. I think it's a chronicle of what really happened. I don't think it's mythos. I believe in the creation, the way it's, I think it's an account. I don't think it's, okay, when I call this stuff, I think God going out of his way to make it strange, it's not that my faith isn't attached to it. It absolutely, I live and die by this book. I study the, listen, I tell you, I've read through this book 43 times or whatever now. I believe every word of it. Okay. Well, I hope we're all on the same page there. It pleased God by the foolishness of the thing preached to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews require a sign. We preach Christ crucified. Under the Jews, it's a stumbling block. Under the Greeks, it's foolishness. Why? Because the Jews are looking for a sign. And by the way, looking for the kingdom. You know, where every man was under his vine, under his fig tree, neither will they learn war anymore. We want the kingdom back. Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? Kingdom, 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 kingdom. What, you're going to die? No, no, Peter, that's not in the cards. That ain't how it's going to play out. We can't have a dead savior. What are you thinking? No, you're going to smoke Rome. You're going to get them Roman people out of here. This is the thing. No, get behind me. You're savoring the things of, that's satanic. That's not the things of God. Are you with me on this? The Jews require a sign. They keep coming to Jesus. Hey, hey, give us a sign, give us a sign, give us a sign. If you lived in Israel and you were going through the wilderness with the children of Israel for 40 years, it rains bread every day. There's a rock that follows you around and gives you water. Someone says, well, I don't believe in God. Oh, he's right there. He's that, you know, that pillar of smoke right there, that pillar of cloud right there, pillar of fire. Yeah, go tell him you don't believe in him. The quail, and some of the supernatural things he did weren't for their benefit, like the brazen serpent. But when you were healed by the serpent on a pole, wasn't that like another manifestation of God? They saw sign after sign after sign after sign. And by the way, I'm for this and I'm against this. God, if God wants to work in signs, praise his holy name, let him do what he wants to do. But I don't need a steady diet of that. I believe him because he said it so. And people that are like assigned churches, they need that, they need that, they want that, they need that all the time, they need that, or what? I'm not going to believe, I'm not going to. It's an evil and adulterous nation that seeks after a sign, Jesus said, and I don't want to be thought of as evil or adulterous. Jesus, I believe in you just because of the fact of who you are and what you've said and what you've done. I don't need signs. You want to give me signs? Thank you. Praise your holy name. But I'm not struggling with my faith because I need signs. Jews are, to this day. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks, they seek after wisdom. So they had their heroes. They had Hercules. They had Hermes. They had the whole pantheon of gods who came, waged war, did all these epic things, and they had, you know, lined up behind their gods, and I you know, worship this god, and I worship this god, and this god. And what, your god, what? He what? He came to the earth and died? That's ridiculous. That's what it's saying. To the Greeks, and that just means non-Jews, that's ludicrous. That's foolish. No, Christ to the Jews had to be a military hero, and to the Greeks he had to be the same thing, and he was neither. I mean, he was that to neither of them. And for their own reasons, they were offended at the cross. But unto us which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. It's all about Jesus, all the time. There are churches, your sister was telling me, she grew up in a church where she said she never heard the gospel. How many of you were in that same situation, grew up in church and never heard the gospel? Me, for sure. They never got around to the gospel. I think that'd be kind of, hey, cover that every once in a while. I don't want to go to hell, you know? Tell me how to get saved. Saved still isn't on the agenda in the church I grew up in. But unto them which are called, are you called? Both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. As I said before, you wouldn't have come up with the gospel. You never would have contrived that. You never would have thought that. You would have thought, story, if you're a guy especially, I don't know how women think. I don't. If you're a guy, you would have come up with a story where you're the hero and you get to brag eternally about how awesome you are. That's what you would have done. How do you know that, Adam? Because I know it. I know it because I know it. Listen, guys need to be heroic. Guys need to be believed in. You know, when I was a little kid, the only thing that got me through church is I was sitting there envisioning a gang of terrorists, either Russian or Libyan, depending on the bad guy du jour when I was a kid, right? They were going to come in and take over the church and get the priest and, you know, handcuff him and tie him up. And I was going to, you know, slide into the pews and, you know, wrestle someone's gun away and win the day. That's how I got through church. It was breathtakingly dull. And you're thinking, okay, you're psychotic. Yeah, me and all my friends, all the guys think like that. We all, and what happened? What happened? They never showed up. You know, I don't know. But guys have to be heroic. Now, I have to be able to tell eternally. You know why I'm here in heaven? Because I was awesome. I did this, and I, you know, gave my body to be burned, and I sacrificed and, you know, slayed dragons. And, I'm so, you don't even know how awesome I am. And I get to brag eternally. And God said, no, none of that. We want to come up with it. At least guys. I don't know how it is for women. I don't know what, if you were like writing the story, I don't know how you would have made it. Now, you're so enamored by Jesus. You're so in love with Jesus. You're so, I don't think you can think in terms of like how it would be otherwise. That's the foolishness, God. That's at the end of God's thinking. That's just, this is how I'm going to do it. And this is, like I say, this is, I don't want to say, like, God's not foolish at all in any way, shape, or form. But this is the low end, at the high end. That's so far past us. And the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Again, the ultimate oxymoron, foolishness of God. It's wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. So all the people on Facebook who are arguing against God, guess what? They're wrong. We'll go and we'll hear that bill tomorrow. And all these people are going to articulate why this is such a good idea. And guess what? They're all against God and they're all wrong. And very many of them will be polished and be very good speakers and incorrect. And the majority of people are against God and are wrong. It's always been that way in America as long as I've been paying attention. It's always been that way in America. Now they have all the microphones, they have all the institutions, they have... they have had schools for a long time. They've had news for a long, long time. They've had political institutions for a long time. And now we find out they also have medicine. Who knew? They're in charge. And there's many of them. And there's only a few of us. And you're right. You're on the right side. Foolishness of God is wise than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. You know where this all comes about? It goes all the way back to the fall. Adam bit the apple. Now we're like gods, knowing good and evil. As a matter of fact, we know good and evil. We know better than God does. And I ain't spitting that apple out. So there. Oh, you're so wrong. You're so wrong. And you'll find out. And I won't be happy when you do. I won't be celebrating. Ha ha, I was right. Because when people are wrong and they draw their last breath, they're wrong eternally. And they stand before God. I didn't know. I didn't think you knew what you were talking about. I did. That's going to be such a sad day. Are you happy about that? Because I'm not. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Does kick you in the ego? I did, but I didn't write it. But I get kicked in the ego too. I'm here because I'm awesome. No, I'm here because God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Foolish things of the world, guilty. Going to hell in a handbasket. Truth be told, enjoying the trip. God says, nah, I love you. You didn't come into my family. Wise? Wise guy? Not wise. Not smart at all. Arrogant? Yeah, I'd take arrogant. Not, hey, I'm in a room full of not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. Does that hurt your feelings? Yeah, I hope it don't. I mean, That's who he loves to save. You know, I think about my testimony, because, you know, I was listening to Charlie's testimony here Thursday last, and boy, that's quite a story. I was thinking of my own testimony. Not very colorful. It doesn't involve prison. There's no felonies. There's no... I think of our stories pretty much the same. No, it is. It is. It is. It's all the same. I was a jerk. I was going to hell, and God saved me. That's your testimony. The rest is details. Okay, the details might be interesting, because I say, well, I grew up in this church, and people say, oh, yeah, I grew up in that church, too. And I was in the Marine Corps. Oh, I was in the service. And, you know, some of those things people can hang their hat on. I can tell how God, you know, reached into my life, turned my receptor on, changed my life, and made me fit to be his son eternally. But at the end, I'm bragging about him. I'm not bragging about me. It had nothing to do with me. I kind of sometimes feel like victimized by salvation, like I was a passerby when salvation came and it just kind of landed on me or something. I don't feel like an active participant, like I did anything, because you know what? I didn't. He saved me. Praise his holy name. I'm not going to brag eternally about what I did. I'm going to brag on him eternally for what he did. And I think that's the only way it can be. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. You see, your calling, not many wise, guilty, not many mighty, guilty, not many noble. Oh, I do have a certain nobility about it. No. Guilty. And now there's some people who are really, really wise. I get that. And there's some people, God saves nobility. I mean, in the sense of like kings and queens and stuff. There are those who come to the Lord. You know, when, what's her name, Elizabeth? Was that her name? The queen. The queen just died last year. You know, they had some things that they said about her that I thought like, huh, might have been a sister. Don't know. Not proposing that or something like that. I wish she passed on some of her wisdom and learning on to her son, who is as clueless as any man on earth. I wish she passed some of her stuff on to her. But I think she might have been, I don't know. You hope, right? Because I don't want to see anyone go to hell, even though the majority go there. I hope. So she might have been one of the nobles that made it. I don't know. King David was nobility. Started out as shepherd. He ended up nobility. He got saved. Others, you know, we read the stories of Hezekiah and Josiah and ones like that. Some noble, but not many. God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. What foolish things? You, me, the foolish things of the world. Hey, listen, praise God. Praise God. I hope you're not all super offended by this. That's how it works. You know what God loves? Average people. You know why I know that? He made so many of them. I'm not outstanding in my field. I'm just a guy. I'm just a regular guy who God saved. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Nothing exceptional about me. When you see the word awesome in the dictionary, you won't see my picture right there. I guarantee you won't. Foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Weak? Oh, you have no idea. Sometimes people think of me because I'm a Calvary Chapel pastor. It's like, oh, he must be like really holy, must be really close to God. Shut up, you have no idea. That's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm just telling you. Love you. Your pastor is a ridiculous human being. Weak? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like tempted by silly things that I thought I was done with years ago. You know what I do? You know what I do? I am so weak. I don't like, God, you're all set. I got this. I got this, God. No. I got this. You know how many times I do that? Like never. And if I do that, that's called sin. Because I know I'm going to fall flat on my face. I get tempted. You know what I do? I'll do this. Lord, you got to show up right now and help me out of this. Because I am going to fall and it's going to be very bad. How weak is that? Praise God. I know how to get the biscuits buttered. I know where I have to go for strength. You know what I mean? Standing on my own 2 feet? Oh, That's ridiculous. I'll fall every time. I got an older brother. He chases all the bad bullies away, all the demons and all the... And I've learned to rely on him and not to rely on myself. Every time I rely on myself, it's bad. God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring about things that are. It's this methodology. Wise? Very wise. Me wise? No. He's got a plan. What's the plan, Adam? Verse 29, no flesh should glory in his presence. You imagine sharing heaven with a braggart eternally? That wouldn't be heaven to me. That would be hell. That would be like, I got to, you know what guys do? Guys meet each other. The first thing we do is, hey, what do you do? And I got to find out what, because if he's a doctor, now I know he's smart. And he's above me. And like, I'm just a lowly blue-collar electrician. But this guy's like, he works for the sanitation department. So I'm, and it's kind of like dogs sniffing each other's tags. I say tags, you know, dog tags, but. That's what it looks like to me. Just, and we got to find out the pecking order. Are we ridiculous? So someone asked me what I do. Well, I'm a nuclear physicist. Yes, I was part of the Manhattan Project, and I'm going to go on with how brilliant I am and how I discovered whatever and fixed. And I can go on with myself quite a while. I'm so awesome. I don't like being around that guy. I certainly don't want to be that guy. No one's gonna glory in his sight. Why? Because you didn't do anything to get there. I didn't do anything to get there. He's done it all. And even add to his salvation. Do you realize what blasphemy that is? What absolute blasphemy? Well, Jesus, he provided a way. He opened a door. But you know what I did? And I'm going to tell you how I super got saved, how I sealed the deal, how I won the day, how I slayed all the dragons, and how awesome I am. No one's bragging in his presence. I love that. No flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, i.e. in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I hope I've done that here this morning. You're in Christ. He's of God. And he made us wise. He made us righteous. And he made us sanctified. What is that? Able to overcome sin. Holy, in a word. He saved us. And now he's saving us from the power of sin in our life. People get upset with me when I say this, and I don't understand why. He changed our eternal address with his blood. And the belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ changes you eternally where you're going to spend eternity. Don't you think belief in that same gospel can save you from the power of sin in your life? It's not now. Now let's roll up our sleeves and get after it. Well, there is a doing, but it's mostly believing. I mean, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Certainly get on with it. What does that mean? I believe Jesus. I believe he saved me. I believe he can keep me. I believe he can give me victory. I believe he can get me there. None of these things depend on me. That's why. This is my boasting. I know Jesus. Let him glory in the Lord. That's my boast. I know Jesus. And by the way, you can know him too. I don't know him exclusively. Chapter 2, we're going to look at first 5 verses. I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Why? Because I went to Mars Hill, and I was in excellency of wisdom. And guess what? I fell flat on my face. It didn't work. I'm changing my tactic now. I'm coming to you, and I didn't come in excellency of speech. When you called a woman a Corinthian that day, again, you're going to get your face slapped. But if you said it about a guy, you speak like a Corinthian, that's high praise. That's high marks. Because they had speech down. And he said, no, I'm not playing that game. You know what I'm going to tell you about? I'm going to tell you about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it's not my articulateness. It's not because I'm a golden tongued orator that's going to win the day. You know what's going to win the day? The message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I can, with fair speech and flattery and smooth you into the kingdom by articulating and presenting such a way that someone's going to come and smooth you out of the kingdom, and they're going to undo everything I've done. But if the gospel of Jesus Christ gets you there, the gospel, the power is not going to be broken. You know what I mean? If it's because I'm so wise, that's why you come to this church all the time, because that's why everyone comes here, right? No, but if I'm going to teach you the Bible faithfully and tell you what God says, that's a good thing. But if I depend on my wisdom, my articulation, my brilliance, my oratory skills, then the best orator wins the day. If he's a damnable heretic or if he's the man of God, doesn't matter. He's got the skills, and that's who we're all going to follow. No, Paul says, and by the way, he had excellency of speech. Paul's like a super genius. He's one of the mighty in understanding. He might not have been mighty physically, but he had wisdom. He had all the smarts, but that's not what wins the day, and he was smart enough to understand that. So I'm going to declare unto you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The whole thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the whole thing. It's the whole enchilada. There's nothing else. That's what I focused on. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Did that win the day? Yeah. My speech was, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It can't be, because if that's what makes you stand, someone else comes along with better wisdom, better understanding, more articulation, and you'll fall. You see how that is? And Paul knows it. My preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I give you such a demonstration of the Spirit here right now. God changed me, made me a new creation from sinner to saint. You're thinking, yeah, it happened in my life. Is that incredible? I tell you, I care about you. I love you. I mean, look, listen to me. I love you. I really, really care. I didn't give a damn about you before I got saved. I mean, I would tell somebody, go to hell and mean it. Oh, God help me. I would never think of saying that to somebody now. Why? Because I'm awesome? No, because God's awesome. He reached into my heart. He changed it. He reached into my brain. He rewired it. He changed. I'm a new creation. I'm not who I used to be. That is an incredible miracle. It's a demonstration of his Spirit and of power. It was in your own life. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Have it showed you the wisdom of men and how perverse it is? Have I done at least that today? Let's get rid of it. They're wrong about everything. They're wrong about everything. They're wrong about only everything. And we want to be like them? I'm in for a penny, in for a pound. It's all about the cross. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his miraculous power. It's all about the Spirit of God. It's none of it's about wisdom. None of it's about worldly wisdom. We'll have none of it. We'll commit ourselves afresh to, Lord, what does your word say? I'm committed to what your word says. That's all. I'm just foolish enough. I'm just simple enough. I'm just silly enough to believe what God says. And there you go. That's it. That's all we have. We've covered all the verses that we're going to cover today. And I hope you feel like, because you know you're going to talk to your friends and they make you feel like a rube. On judgment day, when they're going to hell and you're in heaven, you're not going to have the last laugh because you're not going to laugh. But you're right. You're right. You're on the right team. You're on Team Jesus. They're all going to want to have a reversible jacket. Atheist, it says, you know, loud and proud on the jacket, and they'll try to reverse it and be on Team Jesus. It doesn't work that way. They're going to be backpedaling on that day furiously, and you're going to be child of God. You're on the right team. Let them laugh. Okay, our worship team's going to come. We'll stand. We'll go out of here in song. Lord, we look at our Corinthian friends taking sides. We're on sides too, Lord. We're taking your side. We have determined our boast is in you. You and you alone are awesome. And you alone are the only wise God. And we thank you. We praise you for this great gift of salvation. Lord, we want others. You know, look at our hearts here open before you this morning. We want others to come too. We don't want this to be an exclusive club. We have our hearts are full for others, Lord, and we pray that we'd, for even right now, Lord, there's ones that we know that are far away, and we bring them close to you as we're thinking about them. You would reach down, save many, and use us. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee, be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.